Hello. This is a not fic that I am recording for Voice Team Mystery Box 2025. The challenge is comments first. So I asked my team members to submit comments that they're writing in response to an audio work that does not exist yet. And then I have to record an audio work that matches those comments retroactively. So I did a couple of these already, and people commented in a way that I made like something heated rivalry related, and I was like, I really want to do one for Hikaru no Go. So I asked specifically for Hikago not fic comments. And so this was the result. So from Nonplussed, OMG, Toya Meijin and Morishita Sensei? That's so galaxy-brained, I can't even. And then from Alani, all my love for this rare pair aside. What I really love about this is just how many AUs for them you considered and how well you made them work in each. Love with Loveless must, sorry. Like Loveless must be one of my all-time favorite crossover fandoms, but I never would have thought about it for these two, and yet. Now I want nothing more than 100K Toya Meijin slash Morishita Loveless fusion fic. And then Mistborn Hero says, few people actually focus on the weird fights from Loveless and just do the animal ears. So I was happy to see it make happy to see it make an appearance on the Loveless AU bit. But I was actually more into the Pacific Rim take, where they were drift compatible, but also somehow sucked because they had different ideas on strategies. Okay, well, they really made it difficult here for me. So I again kind of just decided to attack the hardest part of this. Which I actually do ship Toya Meijin and Morishita Sensei, as Nonplussed knows. So that part is easy. But kind of, yeah, this AU piece, I think the way Eleni wrote it was kind of imagining like different AU scenarios, right? Like five times they fell in love in wartime or something like that, and it's all different AUs. Or like top 10 anime betrayals with Morishita and Toya Meijin. But I decided to fuse the Loveless part and the Pacific Rim part and then throw in another one because that's kind of what the prompt suggests. So my thought is here that it's kind of Loveless style battles, and kind of that other world that kind of happens and kind of the connection between the fights and kind of like the roles, but in Pacific Rim mechs, only instead of fighting kaiju, it's like Sailor Moon style villain of the week that are like the villain of the week is sent down by like a middle manager villain who's then controlled by like a big bad who has a tragic backstory, right? So it's like it'll be an AU inside an AU inside an AU inside of an AU, right? So that's what we're working with here. And then the mech organization is of course run by Kuwabara, who is really bad at giving direct orders that like make sense to the people who are supposed to be fighting these battles. But he's uncannily good at predicting the enemy's next move, so somehow it all works out, right? But at the same time, you know, people are like this is very frustrating, so it like creates a lot of tension and all of that. But in the end, of course, they're victorious. And our story starts with Toya Majin and Morishita Sensei as young men, right? So just Toya and Morishita. And they're kind of rivals in the program as they're kind of coming up, you know, pushing each other to be harder, you know, to harder to you know, be better, all of that stuff. And eventually, when they earn their stripes enough to actually get into a Jaeger, they find out they are somehow drift compatible. They get matched as partners. They find out their deepest secrets and insecurities and, you know, get to know each other a little better. They kick ass, but as Mistborn Hero says, they have different ideas of how to approach it. And especially with the Loveless fighting system, it gets very complicated, right? And it's like, who gets in what role? And like, what does that mean? And it's like, you just want to fight this way because you don't want to get hurt, you know, whatever. You're not being, you know, aggressive enough because you're the one who's going to feel the pain this time. All of that stuff. And of course, they have fluffy kitty ears as well. But that's obviously not the focus because who would care about the fluffy kitty ears part of it? Definitely not me. anyway, years pass by with them, you know, working together, finding a way to just knock down these villains of the week when it's their turn to go out, and kind of managing the other personalities in, you know, in this organization, you know, all of it. And you know, eventually Morishita notices that Toya is getting invited to all of these like special sessions with the upper brass. And he's like, what the fuck is this about? And then when they get into the Jaeger the next time, he chases the rabbit and he finds out these are special sessions because Toya is on the management track. He's going to leave Morishita. He's going to they're grooming him for command. He's gonna leave their Jaeger. That's awful, right? Like what a betrayal. Because what is Morishita supposed to do? And then, like, you know, so they kind of have a falling out. It turns out, you know, it kind of leads to, yeah, Toya does become Toya Meiji, and he does become one of the commanders. And it's like, well, was that always going to happen? Or is it because they fell out and, you know, now he doesn't have his partner anymore, right? And Morishita tries to, you know, keep going in the Jaeger program, piloting, but you know, it never works with anybody else the way it did with Toya. And he has, you know, these moments of doubts where he was like, you know, was I ever actually that good? Or was Toya just so good he was carrying me? He was carrying our team. And it made me feel like, you know, I was so special and that what we had was so special. And it was really just him because he was that much of a genius, you know? Tensai. But you know, eventually he gets older. They both get married. They both have kids. Life goes on. It's a big program. You know, their state, you know, maybe they moved to different stations. But you know, at the height of the program, right? Like they're at they're different bases. They grow apart. You know, they never make up, they never have that closure with each other. And until one day, you know, Morishita kind of moves into training new recruits because he's a little older. He doesn't really have a steady partner. kind of just kind of moves in and out. You know, he starts to feel uncomfortable with, you know, being people in the drift and having them see his vulnerabilities and being able to see Toya's vulnerabilities, right? Like the echo of him still exists in the drift, with Morishita. And so, yeah, eventually he just says, you know what? I'm gonna trade in the next generation. And of course, he trains Waya and eventually Hikaru. And then, you know, as the program hits that point where they're starting to downsize, like they shift into one final base, Tokyo. Well, maybe there's still the Kansai one as well. But yeah, they end up getting stationed back together. And you know, they have to face each other for the first time in a long time. And you know, it's the first time Morishita is seeing Toya without his ears. And he's the same. And you know, Morishita walks into that base, comes out on the floor, he sees the big sign, you know, XYZ days since the last kaiju slash villain of the week, you know, and he hears something or feels something, and he turns around and he looks up, and Toya is standing there on the bridge looking down at him. And, you know, they might be at this base to cancel the apocalypse, but Morishita can feel an apocalypse taking over in his heart. And he takes a deep breath and he takes the first step forward to the next stage, the next move in this new game. The end.